Well, if all you got today was a prelude service, it'd be worth it all, wouldn't it? Very, very good, and what a blessing. And it's good to have Brother McCracken with us this morning and his wife. And Brother McCracken, the first time I heard him preach, he would have been my age. Just messing with him. About 20 years ago, we were at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp and there in south of Denver, Colorado, where our youth go now. And first time I heard Brother McCracken, and boy, just really blessed my heart. And then now, been in full-time, he was pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where Wayne Hardy is now, back then. And but now has been in full-time evangelism for 16 years. And the ministry, I think, is set for around 36 years. And I just told him I'd introduce him as that guy from Oklahoma. So he's out of the Southwest Baptist Church there in Oklahoma City. And so, Brother McCracken, you come on and preach for us, and we appreciate you. Got lost this morning on the way here, so I'm glad he made it.
Me too. Hey, Pastor Crawford, thank you very, very much for the invitation to be here at Heritage Baptist Church. I'm grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to be here. You said I got lost coming to church. You know how you have that little thing on your phone that gives you directions? Well, she kept taking us around in a circle down there somewhere. She said, prepare to get out of the car and walk to your destination. So anyway, we're here, and it's a blessing to be here. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for how God's blessed the work here and so on. I need to do a couple of preliminary things to help us this morning. And so I'm new to many of you, and Nancy and I have been married, our whole life. And so she's with me. Nancy, would you please stand? This is my wife, Nancy. I want you to know for sure who she is. And there's lots I could say about the blessing she is to me and the miracles God's done in her life. But I'm glad she's with me today. And then I'm thankful that Pastor invited me to come. And so, like you guests that are here, this is your first time. You've not been here when Pastor Crawford was the speaker. You really, really need to come back and give them a chance, okay? Don't judge this church about me being here and how I deliver, okay? So you need to come back. Let me encourage you to do that. Another thing, though, is that I am invited, and the reason I'm here is for revival. Amen. Revival. I'm going to actually be preaching concerning that subject. Amen. Revival. And I have a theme that I'll be working on through these days together. But here's what I need to get across to you, is that revival is not starting this morning and ending this morning. After this service this morning, it's not over. There's more. Like tonight, we're going to do it again at 6. I really want to encourage you to be here tonight at 6. Tonight at 6, the message includes something that will help every relationship you have. Husband and wife, I'm telling you, if you will catch what we're going to do, part of the message tonight, it will help your relationship. It'll help relationship with young people or children toward their parent. It will help you a great deal if you'll come and you'll listen and you'll catch that and gather that. In fact, parents, it'll help you in how that you're supposed to relate to your children, if you'll catch it tonight. In your workplace, your boss, or employees, I'm telling you, you need to, tonight is one of those things you say, well, I'm really glad I got that. And you'll be thankful that you were here tonight. You need to come back tonight at 6. And then, Monday night, if things go the way I expect, Monday night I have an illustration that you'll remember probably the rest of your life. You don't want to miss that illustration. And every time you come across that passage of Scripture, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And Monday night, help you in your walk with the Lord. But if you can only come to one service this week, Tuesday night is the one you don't want to miss. I'm telling you, it's not because I'm preaching, but because of the subject and how we're going to unfold and show you some things in the Scripture. Oh, honey, you do not want to miss Tuesday. It will be one of them life changers and a life thing that you'll remember. And when you come to this text of Scripture, mercy. You're going to be always remembering. You're going, oh, I am so glad that I made it on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, that's no big deal. But the other nights are really, really good, okay? You don't want to miss any of those nights. Now, Wednesday night, I'm going to show you about this thing of revival, God's part and our part. That'll be Wednesday night. By God's grace, that's what we're going to do. So, if you're a guest this morning, and so you don't attend here regularly, Heritage Baptist Church, Pastor Crawford, and especially me, would love for you to come back tonight and enjoy the revival. You don't have to be a member here to get revived. And so if you'll catch some of this morning, I hope that you'll see a heartbeat, perhaps, that you should have for the revival. All right? So let's do this. If you have a ribbon thingy, Bob, one of these markers, if you would put it in the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 4, we're going to turn there later. When we turn there, we'll only have about 30 minutes to go. Actually, it won't be 30 minutes. I'll cut her down and try to make it in 10 minutes, but we'll have to do it fast. But it'll be a few minutes before we get there. And that's another thing about revival. This is a special day. If you're used to getting out of church at 12, it's not going to be exactly 12 when you get out today, because we're having revival. I don't come down here just to mess around for a few minutes. We're going to try to have revival services. Amen. So, did I tell you to John chapter 4? Did I already do that part? Good, because I have a problem with memory. I have a lot of alphabet trouble. I do. I have ADD. I have ADHD. I have OCD. I have BBDs. DVDs. My daughter's... Oh, I have something that's infected me the last 3 or 4 years. It's called AGE. My daughter said, it's not AGE, Dad, it's OLD. And so, anyway. Now let's turn to our beginning text. It's 2 Chronicles. If you don't know where 2 Chronicles is, put your thumb in the middle of your Bible and flip toward the front real slow. If you're around Psalms, that's okay. It's in front of Psalms. If you see a 1 or 2 book, stop. All the 1 and 2 books are together in the Old Testament. You have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This little glass of water is making me nervous. Okay, I'm going to put it here. I've already been sprinkled, so don't need it. I don't know if y'all have ever seen this, but there's a little gun up here. I don't know if it's a laser, or you shoot people and say, hey, don't go to sleep, I'll shoot you right there. But it's a pretty cool looking gun. So anyway, I'm just looking around. Surprises. Okay, did I tell you 2 Chronicles 7? If you're able, I invite you to stand with me, please. We stand to give reverence and give honor to the eternal, infallible, inerrant, it is the perfect, preserved word of the living God, is why I ask people to stand and give honor to this book. It's God's holy word. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If you'll turn over some more pages to the book of Psalms, it's closer to the middle of the book, the Bible. Psalm 34, please. I'd like to show you a verse here. Psalm 34. There's one verse here I'd like to bring to your attention. If you look at it, it's verse number 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51 now, please, just a few pages. Psalm 51. There's one verse here. Verse number 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. I do have one more passage I'd like to show you. It's Isaiah. Isaiah is between Psalm and Matthew. So if you'll just flip over, it's going to be a few pages. It's one of the big books of the Old Testament. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah. If you get to Jeremiah, you went too far. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture here. I'm going to have prayer with you. I ask you to be seated after I pray. And then if you'll leave your Bible open, my intent is to spend a couple of minutes in Isaiah 57 on this verse. It'll take a few minutes for me to get to it, but if you just leave your Bible open there, okay? Isaiah 57, and it is verse 15. Listen to these words, powerful words. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let me pray with you, please. Our great God, thank you again. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for opportunity, another Lord's Day to assemble. Hallelujah. Thank you for how you blessed Heritage Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for the good service already today, the great music, and then a good attendance. God, the church has been praying for revival. The church has been talking about it. And then, Lord, you allowed me to come for these special services. And so, God, we're asking, wilt thou not revive us again? Would you do it? Would you do it again? Jesus, for those that are closest to you and they have great relationship and they just have a great love relationship with you, will you refresh them some more? Those that are know you as Savior, they know salvation, but they're not where they ought to be. They're away from you. Their heart's not hot, it's not warm, it's cold. God, would you please stir the embers up in their heart, and would you breathe on them the freshness of revival and begin that in their heart today. And then, of course, those that are not forgiven of their sin, they're not born again, they're not ready for eternity, I pray for them. I pray that you would capture their heart, convince them that they are a sinner, that they are a sinner, that they need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ, your Son, is the Savior. I pray they'd receive Him before it's too late. So we love you. We thank you for loving us. I do ask you for power and unction and utterance to get across your truth. And it is in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you could say it like this, before revival, or before we can know revival, in a nation, before we can experience revival in a church corporately, before we can know revival in our home, revival must first be experienced on an individual, personal level. It's got to begin with the individual. Perhaps one of the greatest hindrances to our experiencing a personal revival is our unwillingness to confess our desperate need for His mercy and to humble ourselves before Him. That's a powerful and that's a broad statement to say maybe the greatest hindrance or one of the greatest hindrances is our unwillingness to humble ourselves. That's pretty pointed. That's broad. But if we're going to have revival, we must come to the place where we would be willing to humble ourselves. See, our generation, where you and I live, since you're breathing air, you're part of our generation. Our generation, and us, that now we've all been programmed. We're programmed to pursue happiness. We're all supposed to be happy. We're supposed to have wholeness or good feelings about ourselves or a positive self-image. That's how we're programmed to think and how to behave. We're all supposed to be happy. Well, that's why the popular psychologists are so popular. Dr. Laura, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oprah. They all want to make us feel good. They want us to be happy. They want us to have a positive self-image. They want us to know the cures for our hurt feelings and our damaged psyches. We need to feel good. Do you know that God is not interested in the same thing we are? God is more committed to making us holy than making us happy. Our pursuit of happiness and good feelings have interrupted this understanding and awareness of humbling ourselves before God and seeing our need for Him. You know, the Bible makes it clear that there is a pathway to holiness. I could say it like this: there is a path to revival. That's the reason we read the verses, Chronicles and Psalms. Chronicles says that the pathway to revival, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, then will I hear. Everybody with me? So the pathway to this revival thing, or another way to say it, is holiness, is to humble ourselves. In Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh them of a broken heart. Psalm 51, He will not despise them that have a broken and contrite heart. So here's, listen to this. The pathway's name is humble. It's called broken. It's called contrite. These three words, humble, broken, contrite, they are synonyms. They are. They all have the same idea, the same meaning. They are connected to each other. They have distinction of each other, but they have connection to each other. And when we talk about them in this text and this sermon this morning, this, when I talk about humility, I could be using the word broken. I could be using the word contrite. These three words go together. Watch. They are the name of the pathway that leads to holiness. Is everybody with me? Now, I'm not just making this up. It's like we read it in the Bible. Okay? So, wait a minute. If we want to experience revival, boy, I'm thinking about this sermon that's coming later. You need to be here for it. But anyway, I'm trying to preach to you about revival. I'm trying to stir you up with a heart and desire that we want revival and need, understand an awareness of the need of revival. Listen, there's not two ways to get to revival. There's not three paths to the path of holiness. There is one road that I can find in Scripture if we're going to have revival, and that road is called humble. It has another name. It's called broken. Is everybody with me? It's called contrite. If we're going to have a revival, if God's people are going to come to a place of revival, it must include this road. Humble, broken, contrite. Look in your Bible here at Isaiah 57. Let me show it to you. Verse 15. Let's talk about this verse for a minute or two. Watch verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty capital one. Did you notice? Anybody notice that? Capital one? Look up here. Did you know that there was a capital one before there was ever like a capital one? Amen. Now watch this. It's not a surprise to me and you that the scripture says, thus saith the high and lofty capital one. We all already agree that one, the capital one, God is high and lofty. Amen? We already agree with that. We're aware. Yes, we believe God is the high and lofty one. What's your Bible? Look at it. Look what it says, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Look up here. When it says that the high and lofty one inhabits eternity, that's really not a shock to us in this room this morning, because where you're seated and the place that you're attending, we all have awareness that God is, He does inhabit eternity. Now, if He inhabits eternity, that means He's really big. Amen? Eternity, that means like no end. Excuse me, we already all believe that already, because we know that God is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. His name is I Am. His name is not I Was. His name is not I Will Be. His name is I Am. Why is His name Am? Because He Am all the time. Did you know He's always Am? He never is, I was. He am. No. 5,000 years ago to God, it's like right now. Because He am. 5,000 years from now, boom, He am. He already knows all about it. Excuse me, that's who He is. He inhabits eternity. But that's not a surprise to me and you. He is the high and lofty one. He is the capital one. He does inhabit eternity. Look at your Bible. Watch it. It says verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is... This is not an adjective. This is a proper noun. This is His name. His name is holy. But see, that's not a surprise to us. We believe our God to be holy. He's without spot. He's without sin. He's altogether perfect, righteous, holy. Somebody go ahead and agree with me and say amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. And we already know that. We're all going, yes, yes, that's who God is. Look at your Bible again. Watch. For thus saith, this is what He saith, the high and lofty one, the one that inhabits eternity, the one whose name is holy. Look what it says. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. Somebody say amen. See, we already believe that. We know God dwells in the high and holy place. We believe that. That's not a shock to anybody here. But the next two words are a surprise. I dwell in the high and holy place with Him. Excuse me? I don't know if you're getting that or not. Now, I already know God is high and holy. He's capital one. He inhabits eternity. Yeah, I know He dwells in the high and holy place. But the Scripture says that God says that He dwells with Him. Somebody is Him. He's not dwelling with Himself. He's dwelling with Him. Now that's a surprise to me. I know God ought to dwell in the high and holy place, but God says, I dwell with Him. I can't help it. My brain up here, I'm thinking, Who is him? No, I was thinking, is it possible that I could be him? Could I be one of them hymns?
Yeah.
Is it possible that I could dwell in the high and could I be him? Excuse me, friend. If you're seated here this morning, you're going, big honking deal. If you're not interested in being him, if you're not interested in dwelling in the high and holy place with God, something's wrong with you. I'll just say it to your face. You don't know God like I know God.
Amen.
You don't have an awareness of who God is if you don't have any desire to dwell with him. Is anybody getting this?
Right. Amen.
Excuse me, friend. If you say, well, you guys do whatever you want, I ain't interested in dwelling with God in the high and holy place. If that's your attitude and your thought, friend, you have no awareness whatsoever of who our great Creator, our Jehovah, our Lord is.
Right.
If you knew Him, you'd be going, can I be Him too? What do you have to do to be Him? Look in your Bible. Look what it says. I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Look at it. Also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Excuse me? How do you get to be him? You have to have a contrite and humble spirit. Excuse me. Watch. The road, the path that leads to the high and holy place is called humble, contrite. We use the word from Psalm 51 and 34, broken. Amen? What happens? Okay, I get on the road. I'm going to the high and holy place. What happens when I get there? Look at your Bible. Look what it says. It says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Watch. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Ladies and gentlemen, revival is dwelling with God in the high and holy place. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you and I are interested, if we have any desire whatsoever for some kind of revival, we've got to get on this road called humble. Contrite. Broken.
Amen.
Amen? I've chosen the word this week, broken. I'm going to be preaching concerning brokenness this week. Each service will be connected to brokenness. See, when we think about revival, hang on. Wait a minute. Do you think, when you think about revival, do you think it's a time of great rejoicing? A time of celebration? Glory to God, it's revival. It's a time of high fives and chest bumps. Yeah, glory to God. That's what I think of. Revival. Man, this is going to get turned on. It's a celebration of fullness. Let me put a little thought in your brain. That might be what revival is in its completion. See, our problem is we want revival. Some of you are kind of familiar with your Bible and know a little bit about it. Is that on the day of Pentecost, thousands were saved. Amen. Added to the church. We want like a revival like Pentecost, where God would just blow up the place. Amen? We want, but no. Yeah, we want a Pentecost revival, but here's it. We want a painless Pentecost. We want a happy revival. See, God's ways are not our ways. You know, in God's economy and God's word, that if you want God to lift you up, according to the Bible, here's what you got to do. You got to get down low. Jesus said it, he that would be chief among you, let him become servant of all. If you want to be the chief, if you want to be the chief among us, you become everybody's servant. Excuse me, that's upside down from many people singing, amen? See, God's ways are not our ways. If you want to be lifted up, you get down low as you can. Mr. Peter Octavianus said these words. He said, revivals do not begin happily with everyone having a good time. They start with a broken and contrite heart. You and I will never meet God in revival until we first meet Him in brokenness. Wow. So, I looked up the word, broken, in the dictionary. You know what Mr. Webster says? Webster says, broken or brokenness is parted by violence. Another definition he gives, torn asunder, broken. Another definition he gives is bankrupt. You know, when you and I hear the word bankrupt, we can't help it. We automatically think of nickels and dimes and dollars.
Yeah.
Bankrupt. Yeah, I'm broken. I'm broke. You know, it's possible to be broke in something other than money. You know that if you and I are broke before God, if we're broken before God, you know what we're telling God? We don't have anything to offer you.
Amen.
We don't have anything to pay with. I don't have anything to give you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to have revival until we come to a place of brokenness and admit we don't have anything God needs. And we all act like that. This church is lucky I come here. God is lucky I'm on His team. What a dipstick. Good night. Excuse me, since you brought it up, you're never ever going to see a line of people outside the church doorway and people in line to go in, and somebody say, hey, what are you guys in line for? Oh, we're going in to be broken. That's not the kind of revival people are looking for, you hear me? We want the happy revival. We don't want to go through anything that's like uncomfortable. It's painful. Sounds negative, doesn't it? Hey, we're going to have revival. Let's get broken. But see, we can't have revival until we get on the road. Called humble, contrite, broken. Let me tell you what brokenness is not. Brokenness is not having a sad, gloomy, downcast countenance where you're always looking morbidly introspective. People go, what is wrong with them? I think they're about to have revival. They might just have a bad back and a migraine headache. It doesn't mean you're having revival just because your countenance is bad. Yeah. Sad. Are you paying attention to me? Can you imagine the apostles following Jesus around like this? We are so wicked. There's joy in serving Jesus.
Amen.
And He wants our joy to be full. Well, Brother Dave, I thought you said we're supposed to be broken. We are. But brokenness is not your countenance. It's not your stature. It cannot be equated with deeply emotional experiences. Then you go, oh yeah. Let me tell you about what happened to me. See, it's possible to shed buckets of tears and not have one moment of brokenness. It's not being hurt by tragic circumstances. That's not brokenness. Now, God might use those to get you to a place of brokenness, but that is not brokenness. Listen to me. Brokenness is a choice. It's a decision you make. It is an act of the will. You make a choice to be broken. I'm going to work on that a bit. I'll just tell you up front, and some of it won't take you long to know stuff like this, but can we do a parenthesis? I don't get to say this word very often, but I like to do a parenthetical statement here. I know that I'm a little unique in my delivery and carrying on. Some people have trouble with it. But I promise you, if you'll just give me 4 or 5 times, it'll get better. You get used to it. And I've had lots of people tell me, you know, the first time I heard you, I didn't like you at all. But after, 3 or 4 weeks, I got used to it. So hang in here with me. Okay, I'm through with the parenthetical statement. I am not equestrian. I'm not a horse person. I don't know much about them. I've only ridden 4 horses in my life. So I don't know much about them. But when I was in the 9th grade, I rode my first one. A friend took me home with him after church to his grandmother's house, actually. And they lived on a farm and they had horses. And he goes, want to go horseback riding? Yeah. I'm mostly cowboy. I grew up watching it. On TV, I watched all those. I love Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and Rawhide. Man, I'm him. I'm awesome. I'm a cowboy. I wore the guns and the hat and everything. I've always... The first book I ever read after Dick and Jane was in the 3rd grade. And it was about a man who broke wild horses. I love it. Dad and I would watch the rodeo and watch those bareback broncs. I'm like, this is awesome. And my buddy goes, want to go horseback riding? Well, yeah. I'm mostly cowboy right here. I'm ready. So we go out to the barn. They're putting the blanket and the saddle on, and I don't know anything about it. So they're showing me this is how you do it. And then you got to put the helmet thing or the face mask, the thing on the head. It's got the bar there. Got to do that. Bridle, is that right? I said it. Bridle. You got the headgear. Anyway, put it on, and so he's got it all cinched up. You can't do it too tight, but you got to do it tight enough, blah, 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 and all that. I'm getting ready to get on the horse. He goes, that's the wrong side. What do you mean, wrong side? The horse knows which door you're opening? What do you mean? Can't get on the wrong. That's on TV. They jump off buildings on the horses and everything. You don't have to. Oh, no, you got to get on this side over here. Okay. And then here's what my buddy said. Now, Dave, that horse is a little bit feisty. You have to show that horse who's boss. I'm in the 9th grade. I'm like a man. I can show this horse who the boss is. What's that problem about? We're on the horse, walking out of the barn, getting on the little dirt road that leads up to the barn. And my horsey scoots over next to the fence. Off the road against the fence, banging my leg against the fence. And I'm going, hey, horsey, and I'm pulling on the steering wheel thing. You know, hey, get over here. And it wouldn't do it. It kept knocking my leg against a fence. And then it went under a branch, a tree, where his back would be just below the branch. And he ran me under the branch. I'm hanging onto the horse like this, boom, boom, boom. The branch is bumping down my back. What is wrong with this horse? It won't do what I tell it to do. Well, we get past the tree and the fence, and now he's back on the road following another horse. And my buddy goes, "Would you like to run?" "Yes! I'm a cowboy! Mercy, that's why I'm on this thing!" And he goes, "Yeah!" And he takes off. And I go, "Yeah! Yeah! Ha!" It won't do nothing. It's just walking. "Yeah!" And finally, I kicked it the right way or something, but it didn't take off running. It took off trotting. And my bottom was bouncing against the saddle. Boom, 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 boom. My legs were flying out like this. I'm boom, 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 boom. It was horrible. I didn't know what was going on. My buddy comes back around. He said, "You got to get it out of the trot. If it keeps, you can't ride it like that. You got to get it running." I go, "I know. I'm trying to do that." Boom, 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 boom. "Yeah, yeah." And I got it going right. Boom, we took off. Mercy, I was hanging on now. I was hanging on to that knob at the front of the saddle thing, and I was flying. My legs are doing like this. I'm trying to bend over. I'm going to lose it. If I fall off now, I'm going to hurt something. Mercy. Anyway, we were out in the open field and so on, and he stopped, and so my horse stopped too. Praise God. We're walking around out in the field, and now I'm sitting up tall. I'm looking good now. I am a cowboy. I've done it. I've ridden the horse. We weren't out very long. It was Sunday afternoon. I go back to church. So we head back. I had no idea. I don't know anything about it. When we came around the corner, and this is a little tiny trail that goes back to the barn, you know what my horsey did? Whoa! Hey! Hang on here! Whoa! And I'm bouncing on the seat again. And then it took me over against a fence and banging my leg against a fence. I fell off the horse. Poof, the horse went to the barn. I'm laying on the side of the thing by the fence. Yeah. I'd say that horse was a little bit feisty. I think the horse needs to be like broken better. You don't put a rookie on some feisty thing. You know why I'm telling you this? See, brokenness is a choice. It's a decision that we make. Excuse me, since you brought it up, you know there's a lot of you people in here that you say that you're a Christian, but you're a little bit feisty. You still do things the way you want to do it. Let's just be honest right now. Tonight at 6, we're going to gather up again. And some of you go, "I don't do 6 o'clock on Sunday night." How come? Is it because the master said, "You just lay down here and rest. You got yard work to do. You don't need to be..." Is anybody hearing anything I'm saying? Excuse me, I'm just saying, who is the master? The horsey ain't the master! The horsey is supposed to be broken. Somebody say amen. See, our churches are filled with people who need to be broken a little better. They need... They're feisty. Excuse me, I know some of you women wanted to... Boom, to that man sat next to you. Said, "Yeah, that's right, Bubba. You are feisty." And then he wants to do this to you. Boom. You're the feisty one, woman. Amen. Does anybody hear me? I don't know if you're getting this or not, but I'm trying to talk about revival. See, brokenness is a choice we make. And it's not a one-time decision. It's an ongoing decision that daily we're saying, "Lord, I don't want to be in charge. I'll let you be in charge." I liked what one guy's definition of brokenness was. He said, "Brokenness is me agreeing with God about how He sees the condition of my heart." John chapter 4. Some of you know that means we only have 30 minutes left. I promise it won't be 30 minutes.
and it just seemed like it. Are you ready? John chapter 4. I want to give you an illustration of someone agreeing with God about how he sees the condition of her heart. You ready? It's John 4. Verse number 3. He, that's Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. Look up here, please. Look. I brought a little map with me. I know most of you haven't seen it yet, and so I just want to point it out to you. It's a little map of the Israel area and the time that Jesus was there. And the map is right here. At the top of the map up here, this is Galilee. There's an upside-down looking pear-shaped body of water called the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. Right below Galilee is this middle area called Samaria. Below Samaria is Judea, where Jerusalem is. Bethlehem is here. Is everybody with me? Jesus was in Judea. He's got to go to Samaria. He must needs go to Samaria. He's going to Galilee, and he says, I must needs go through Samaria. The reason that's valuable or important to know is because true blue, full blood, through and through Jewish people don't walk through Samaria. There was bad blood between the people of Judea and the Samaritans. The Samaritans are like half-breeds. And the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They hated them so badly they wouldn't even walk on the road that went through Samaria because they didn't want to get the dust, the dirt of the Samaritans on their sandals. They would walk east and go on the other side of the Jordan River and go north up to the mouth of the Galilee or around the Galilee to get there because they didn't want to get the dirt of the Samaritans on them. Boy, they were prejudiced against him. Terrible. Well, the Samaritan says, you hate us? We will hate you more back. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. Jesus said, I got to go through there. Another thing you need to be aware of is that 6 hour means 12 o'clock noon. Nobody goes and gets water at noon. It's hot. They all would gather at the place of the well early in the morning when it was cool. And they would help each other and fellowship and pass news around. Then they would meet in the evening to get water, and they would help each other and fellowship and pass the news around. The only reason anybody would ever go at noon is they didn't want to be around anybody. Another thing you need to be aware of how women were treated in Jesus' day here in this period of time. Women were treated like property. They were treated like someone owned them. They were looked down upon. They didn't have anything to say. They had no rights. I don't know if you've ever paid any attention to the news or not, but maybe if you've ever seen anything over in Afghanistan or Iraq, even Saudi Arabia, how the women are treated there. That's how they were treated back in Jesus' day. Some people think Christianity is a male chauvinistic thing, that we put down women. We tell women, oh, shut up. Your place is barefoot and in the kitchen having babies. Excuse me? It's not Christianity. Jesus did the opposite of that. Jesus said we're supposed to love her the same way that he loves the church. We're supposed to provide for her and care for her and protect her. She is our heartbeat. Jesus elevated it. Anyway, they looked down at him. Is everybody with me? So Jesus is getting, he's tired, he's sitting on the well. It's the sixth hour and here comes a woman of Samaria. Watch what he says. Give me to drink, verse 8. The disciples are gone into the city by meat, verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but she's not very polite.
She's hateful, sarcastic, doesn't want to talk to this man at all. Is everybody listening to me? Since you brought it up, let me just put this little bug in your ear. There's a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ at all because they don't really know who He is.
That's right.
If you knew who He really is, that He's the Son of God, that He is deity, that He's the Savior, He's the Redeemer. If you knew, you'd say, I want to listen to what you got to say. Tell me. Yeah, but lots of people go, I ain't got nothing to do with Him. I don't have anything to do with Him. You know why? Because they really don't know who He is. Just like she says, how is it that thou, being a Jew, answer me to come on to me? So, praise God, Jesus slaps her upside the head and says, no, He didn't. Verse 10, Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him. He would have given thee living water. Woman said, sir, there's nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence enters out that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank there of himself, and his children, and his cattle? So this time Jesus did slap her. No, He didn't. Jesus has so much patience, doesn't He? He's a loving, gentle Savior. He said, whosoever drinketh of this, He's pointing at the well, water shall thirst again. Whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but in him the water shall, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman says, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So Jesus says, okay, go call thy husband and come hither. I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that says thou truly. Look up here, please. This woman has been with a minimum of six men. Is everybody with me? Five husbands. Now she's living with a guy. You know, when this woman was a little girl, she had the same dream that all little girls have. When she was a little girl, playing house, playing with a baby doll, or playing with pretending that she was the mama. You know, when she was a little girl, she was dreaming of Prince Charming coming on a big white stallion. And he would take her up and love her and live happily ever after. She never ever thought, well, when I get older, maybe I get three or four husbands, maybe, and then all this. There is no little girl that thinks like that. All little girls have the same dream. A man who's going to be Prince Charming. Take her and love her and live happily ever after. My wife had that dream. I don't know why that'd be funny. I was not on a white horse. You are right. But my wife dreamed that same dream. All little girls do. And this woman's dreams have been crushed. She tried it five times, so forget this. Excuse me, do you know why she didn't go with everybody in the morning or in the evening? You know, how they talked about her and looked at her, and don't you be talking to that woman. I don't want her stealing my husband. I don't want anybody. And she just was so crushed with, you know, guilt and grief. She went by herself. Look what Jesus said. Well, verse 19, the woman said, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshiped this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is coming, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am He. Now look up here. Brokenness is agreeing with God about how He sees the condition of your heart. And this Samaritan woman realizes that she's a sinner. And that salvation is of the Jews. And if you're going to have God, it must be in spirit and in truth. And Jesus said, I'm He. Did she believe Him? Did she believe what He had to say? Watch what the Bible says, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, hey, come and see a man which showed me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they that went out of the city and came unto Him, in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me that I ever did. Look up here, please. I'm almost done. The woman of Samaria agreed that she needed a Savior. She agreed she's a sinner. She believed that He is the Christ and He could forgive her. She believed so much that she went into the city and she said, hey, you got to come and see Him. He's here, the Messiah. The Christ is here. He told me all that I ever did. He's the Messiah. And many believed on Jesus because of her. It's awesome. A few things you need to gather from this. One is, doesn't matter how bad your background is and how bad your history is. Jesus loves you. And He wants to forgive you. He'll give you a well of water that springs up in everlasting life. You can be forgiven if you'll admit. Well, no, you're not getting it. If you agree with God about how He sees your heart, you can be forgiven. That's incredible. That's incredible. Nobody is left out. You can't sit here and go, well, you don't know my past. Oh, Jesus knows your past. Amen. He wants to forgive you. But He won't forgive you until you agree with Him. Is everybody with me? If you're going to try to hide it and maneuver around and act like, well, it's not that bad, I'm not that... You can't be forgiven until you come clean. It's called truth. Spirit and truth. So if you don't know for sure you're forgiven, today you can. We want to help you. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't have to give a speech, but we would love to pray with you and help you know that you're forgiven of your sin. Number two, you want revival? Do you admit you're a little bit feisty? You have to agree with God about how He sees the condition of your heart. If you're going to say, oh God, I am not that feisty. I just got other stuff I got to do. See, we're not going to get to have revival until we come to Him in brokenness. I'd like to ask you to stand with me, please. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much. I'd like to pray with you, please, if we could bow our heads. Our great God, I come to You again and just want to say thanks again. Thank You. Thank You for the Scripture that teaches us. God, this place, Heritage Baptist Church, revival is available to every one of us if we will just agree with You, if we will choose brokenness. God, many of us are feisty and we got all these areas in our life that we're feisty in. I pray that we would admit it. God, You'd work a revival in us. For those in the room that are not forgiven of their sin, they're not yet born again. God, I pray for them. I pray that You would capture their heart, convince them that You are the Savior, and that because of their sin, You would save them from the penalty of their sin. You would forgive them. I pray that they would be aware of that today and acknowledge that and agree with You. Our heads are bowed, please. I'll ask our Miss Roberta to play softly. And as she plays piano, could I ask you a few questions? I'd like to Let me ask you just a few questions. The reason I ask you to have your head bowed just to give privacy to others. How many of you today would say, Brother McCracken, my testimony is I have received Christ as my Savior. I trusted Him. I know for sure I am forgiven of my sin. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, not because of me, but because of Christ and that He's forgiven my sin. If that's your testimony, would you do me the kind favor? Could you lift your hand? Say, that's my testimony by lifting your hand. Thank you. You can put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You that just lifted your hand, let me ask you this question. How many of you would admit, Brother Dave, I'm feisty in some areas of my life, and I admit that. God already knows about it, and I admit that today. Would you be honest with me and just lift your hand if you're feisty in some areas? Thank you very, very much. But this means we need revival. Is there anyone this morning that would admit and say, hey, Dave, I do not know for sure I'm forgiven? I'm kind of like that woman at the well. I don't know for sure that I'm forgiven, but I agree with God. I know I'm a sinner. And I'd ask you to pray for me. Would you allow me to pray for you? I'm not going to come back and embarrass you. I'm not going to grab you. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone this morning who would lift their hand and say, Dave, I don't know for sure I'm forgiven. You can put your hand back down. You don't have to keep it up. Just lift it up and put it right back down. I appreciate your honesty. Others of you, just lift it up. I'm getting ready to pray. Anybody else? Just let me pray for you. Others, say, pray for me too. Dear God in heaven, I come to you on behalf of folks that don't know for sure. I know you want them to know they're forgiven. I pray that they would agree with you today and how you see their heart. And tell you that today they'd want to be forgiven. And Lord, I pray you'd give them courage to be willing to step forward and let us pray with them. Would you help them do that today, Lord? And God, there's believers, many, many, many of us admitted we're feisty. God, if there's areas that we need to confess to you, I pray we do it and begin revival this morning right now. Our heads are still bowed. I want to ask Brother Wiggins to go ahead and begin to sing. As he sings the invitation, if you don't know for sure that you're forgiven, you'd like to know that. We have some helpers here at the front that will pray with you and help you. And we want to help you today. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to give a speech. We just want to pray with you and help you know. If you're not sure you're forgiven, we have some helpers here at the front that will help you. And you believers today that you're feisty, as Brother Wiggins sings, I just invite you to respond how the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. Go right ahead.